Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We honor you because you're the one who has called us, who has gathered us under your set man, under our parents. And we thank you for the blessings of your presence, the blessings of your word that you have loaded us with. We thank you because you are not yet done with us. And we trust you because it's a commitment on your part to see to it that all that is required for us to come into the place where we'll be seated, you have done in Christ and you have put in Christ. And much more, you are committed to see that that work is done in us. And this is the confidence by which we are gathered here, that irrespective of our infirmities, that you have the power, the antidote to undo those works of darkness until we become blameless before you. Lord, this is the confidence by which we are even listening, because we know as you speak your word that things are being undone in us. We thank you. We thank you for this work. We thank you for this commitment of yours. Help us to also be committed equally in measure to even the things that you are bringing, that we will not be wasters in Jesus' name. Lord, help our hearts, Lord, to be able to trap light. Help us to trap life. Help us to trap, Lord, even that which you are bringing, the blessings you are bringing. Lord, help us to trap them. We will not lick them away. We will not be abortive in our soul. In the name of Jesus, heal our soul. Heal our soul. Heal us of dullness of perception, dullness of hearing. Heal us in the name of Jesus. We come against every spirit of misunderstanding. Lord, we come against that spirit that, Lord, we will come into accuracy in hearing. We'll come into precision in understanding. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I ask for help this morning. I'm but a child that you would help me. You would quicken me. You would quicken me. I come under the grace, the authority of my father and my mother that you have set over me. I come under that grace and help me to minister, you know, according to the burden in daddy's heart, in the name of Jesus. Lord, help me to fetch up the thoughts that are in his heart, and help me, Lord Jesus, to be able to paint it clearly that everyone who hears will be able to comprehend and run with it, in the name of Jesus. Lord, help me to be orderly this morning or this afternoon, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask even that which you have given to him, let it be an aid for me this morning, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll just quickly run through a few things, and then I'll be out of this place. Can we look at Hebrews 9? Let's begin from there. Hebrews 9. While Daddy was teaching, he talked about service. You know, how the Lord wants us to actually come into accurate service. Hebrews 9 verse 1 said, then verily first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. So the challenge or the problem of the first covenant was not the service itself, was the sanctuary in which the service was being carried out. Hallelujah. And it was because of this sanctuary that was worldly that made God to discard, you know, the first, you know, order or the first set to bring in a new another. Hallelujah. And the desire of God is that the Lord will be able to raise a worthy sanctuary wherein service will be carried out. Can we say amen? Amen. Now, when we talk about service in the New Testament, we're not talking about carrying cameras or carrying chairs or sweeping the ground, you know, or singing. Those are beautiful for church to run or for the meeting of the church to run. But that is not service to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is not service to God. In Hebrews 8, you know, we also saw how, or let's just look at Hebrews 8. 1, 2, thereabouts, verse 3. Say, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. So there is a tabernacle, there is a sanctuary in the mind of God, you understand, that should run service. Hallelujah. And if that is not clear, or if we don't become that sanctuary and tabernacle, we will not be able to offer a service that is acceptable. Meaning, you know, I'm just coming from the point where, you know, Daddy taught in Revelations, where he said, wait until we have sealed the servants of our God, meaning they are servants, they are serving. Hallelujah. It means for them to serve, they have a sanctuary wherein service is being carried out from. Now, when I mean sanctuary and tabernacle, we are talking about your frame, your soul. Hallelujah. That is where God wants service to occur. Hallelujah. Amen. That is where God wants service to be offered from, because every man is a worshiper. Every man is a servant. It's either you are serving God or you are serving the devil. So whether as students, you know, as workers, whatsoever, we are all servants of something. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together? So it is the desire of God that God raise a worthy servant that will be able to carry true service unto him. Let's look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28. I will just read from there. Matthew 28 from verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and said unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Next, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. 20. Teaching them to do what? To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So you see that it is not easy to observe. You have to be taught to observe. Now, if you look at that word observe, it's taken from service, observation, observe. Hallelujah. So you need to be taught how to serve. It said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Hallelujah. So you will need to be taught how to obey commandments. Hallelujah. What did I say? You need to be taught. So it's not something you just open your Bible and then you just see service. No, you don't know how to serve by just reading scriptures, because the manual for service has been given to certain, you know, prophets and apostles whom God has raised by that same manual. Hallelujah. God raised them by that same manual for them to be able to officiate and teach, you know, how service is to be rendered to God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Now, I like that phrase. Say, and Jesus came and spoke unto them. See, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. In John 17, let's go to John 17, verse 1. That he talked about. It said, spake Jesus and lifted up his voice to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Can we say all flesh? Now, in Matthew 28, he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Here we see that, you know, power has been given unto him over all flesh. So there's something called all flesh. Let's say all flesh. So you need all power to deal with all flesh, because one of the reasons why we cannot serve is because of flesh. Hallelujah. So if it says all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth, it means that there is flesh of earth, there's flesh of heaven, because sin began from heaven. Hallelujah. In Ezekiel 28, you also see that what we are warring against is a seal. It said, thou sealest upwards the sun. So it means that God decked Lucifer with things, summed it up, and sealed him. So he was perfect in beauty. You don't see what is not perfect. Are we together? He was perfect in beauty, full of wisdom. And then God sealed that work. So he's a being of sealing. And he knows how to hinder men from coming to be sealed. So you need the administration of all power to be able to deal with this cherubim that is a sealer. Hallelujah. Because he also wants to seal men to perdition. He wants to seal men to perdition. So what we are warring against is not something small. It's not something you can war in your house that I can just sit in my room. I don't go out. I don't want to interact with anybody. You know, I just want to make warfare against Satan. In fact, that warfare, that Satan is in your heart already. Hallelujah. So it's not something that you can sit on your own and say you want to make warfare. No, no, no. It doesn't happen that way. Hallelujah. You need the administration of all power, because there is flesh that is earthly, and then there is flesh that is what? That is heavenly. Can we say amen? Amen. And so, having looked at this, that Jesus wants us to experience this all power. So you begin from Acts 1. Let's look at Acts 1 and see the beginning of this issue of power that God, you know, that Jesus promised. Acts 1, go to verse 6 thereabouts. It says, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." So the essence for power is to be witness. Can we say that? Say, the essence for power is to be his witnesses. Hallelujah. So it says, "Ye shall receive the..." So many a time we focus just on the Holy Ghost and ignore the power that the Holy Ghost is to administer. So there is an administration of power by the Holy Ghost to come into the seal of the Holy Ghost. Are we together? Do you understand? There is an administration of the Holy Ghost that will, or there's an administration of the Holy Ghost to bring power. There is a power within the allocation of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That when that power works in you, what would happen is that you will come into the name, or you become a witness of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Are we together? Do we understand? Now, when you let's look at Acts 6. Let's look at some of those people. I just want to describe what power is, because there is a misconception about power. That power, you know, when you see someone healing the sick, you know, can pray for 24 hours. You know, many things we have used to describe power that is external is not the true definition of power. Hallelujah. It said, and the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and what? Of the Holy Ghost. And Philip and, you know, Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Please go, continue. Go to verse 3. Okay, wherefore, look ye among you, seven men of what? Honest report. They didn't say look for seven men who can heal the sick and raise the dead. They said look for what? Seven men of honest report. It takes power to be honest. You need the administration of the power of the Holy Ghost for you to be a honest believer, a honest saint. Hallelujah. Because Satan has worked a lie in us. That many a times, what we do, we live a lie. Many of us are not sincere. You know, there was something the Holy Ghost taught me why, you know, growing up. He said, if they have to catch you, maybe I'm doing something, and then someone will have to see you, or, you know, for you to be exposed before you repent. He said, that's not true repentance, because you will not have repented if they have not caught you. That true repentance, nobody saw you, nobody is seeing you, but you will come yourself to the pastor and say, Pastor, I have done wrong. And I'm ready to receive whatsoever, you know, punishment you are going to give me concerning this matter. I don't want to do it again. Are we together? Many of us, we are remorse when they catch us. That's when I say, Pastor, it's the devil. It's not the devil. Because sin does not just happen arbitrarily. You just wake up in the morning and then you just go and sleep with somebody. No, it begins from the thoughts. You know, Daddy talked about the issue of thinking, right? Then what next? Understanding and what? Speaking. So you can see, you would have thought about it. You would have hatched the thoughts. You would have seen the lady. Wow, this lady. Wow, she has this. You would have thought about it. You have lost in your heart. And then you would now decide on how to hatch the plan, right? And then you go and do it. So there's nothing like, it was the devil. If it's the devil, why you are thinking about, that's the one you should confess. So to be honest, it's not after you have done something. It's from the place of thoughts that you should expose it. Are we together? Yeah, from the place of what? From thoughts. That's when that thing should be exposed, because sin thrives in where? In secrecy. Hallelujah. The reason for brethren life is that sin will not be able to thrive. One of the reasons for brethren life is that sin cannot thrive amidst brethren life. Hallelujah. Because somebody will see it, somebody will call your attention to it, somebody will raise an issue, raise an alarm concerning it. But you know, it's still possible to be among brethren and still hide. Hallelujah. So say, look, wherefore, brethren, look here among you, seven men of honest what? Report. You know, before just standing before God, you can judge yourself. You don't need somebody to judge yourself. How honest are you? Is your yea, yea, and your nay, nay? Some of us are in school, and then they tell you, that you are to buy a book or 5,000 naira. How much do you usually say at home? Is that honest report? Is it honest report? Let me paint on that. Let's assume that they say, the book is 5,000 naira. And then you now go there, they say, due to some circumstances, the book has been reduced to 3,000 naira. How many of you will go back and tell your parents that, eventually it was 3,000 we bought the book, I still have 2,000 naira change. I'm returning. How many of us will return it? I say never. So you can see somewhere Satan has worked a lie in us that many of us are not honest. You know, the worst is for you to look eyeball to eyeball your pastor and you will be lying to your pastor. Is this thing, did it happen this way? And you will lie eyeball to eyeball. So you can see a work that Satan has done. Are we together? So the essence for power is for nature formation, for conversion. It is not first of all for externalities. You know, we like many externalities. But it's first of all for an inner work. So when you say a person is powerful, or a preacher is powerful, or a man of God is powerful, it's not first of all that he can deal with your externalities, that he can pray for you and you are first class. Can you sit under his administration 6 months, 1 year, and things will fall and you are changing? That's how to even know church to stay. That's how to know who to submit to. Can this person preach me out of my sin? Can he preach me out of my iniquity? Hallelujah. It's a honest report full of the Holy Ghost and what? And wisdom. So, all these things are power. This is what we define as what? As power, that you are wise. You know how to say no when you ought to say no. You know how to, condescend. That is power. It takes power. For, like Daddy was teaching, that the administration of meek is to convert you from being flesh to become a supernatural man. That is power. Hallelujah. That is what is what called what? Power. That whom we may appoint over our business. Now go to verse 8 thereabout. It says, Stephen, full of faith and what? And power. Can you see it now? Full of faith and what? And power. That power is love. That power is love. Full of faith and love. Are we together? And Stephen, full of faith and love. So love is power. Hey! What did I say? Love is what? When you want to see a powerful being, you are looking at a love being. Do you understand? So sometimes you have people within, your environment. They can pray, but they cannot forgive. That's not a powerful person. Are we together? You know. You can study, you can pray, you can do many things. But to forgive is difficult. is because you lack power. Are we together? It's because you lack power. To say I'm sorry is as if the whole world is crashing on you. You know, your body will just be itching you. How can I say I'm sorry? It's because you lack power. It takes power to own up to issues and say, it's my fault. I'm sorry. That's what it means to what? To be powerful. Do you understand? And so next time when you say, this person is powerful, you should look at this criteria. Does he love? That's the strength of the character of a believer, is love life. You know, even just like Daddy was teaching us this morning, that just meek, love for all the saints. You know, many of us falter in it. We falter in it. You know, my pastor has the biggest church, you know, and you stand there. We have the largest congregation. You stand there. You know, there are many things we bring in that causes division. So you can't just talk quietly in the office and people will not feel intimidated around you. You just must show that somewhere you know, there's just something special. Can people see your conversation? And then you say, are you a pastor? I said, no, I'm not. I'm just a brother. And he said, no. This is your conversation. Is one that is like a pastor. That they'll even be calling you pastor in your office. And they are not doing pastor. You know, there's somebody called, they do pastor. Because before any little thing, they have quoted scripture. So everybody called them pastor. But they know conversation, they lack strength of that word. Hallelujah. You know, by the time we go visit you in your home, can your parents vouch for you and say, this my daughter, this my son. You know, since, you know, he has been hearing this gospel, I have seen changes in her life. What's the name of that church again you're attending? That conference you say you are going to, what's the name? You know why many of us cannot even tell them we are going to conferences? We just sneak. It's because we have not shown them an example. We have not shown them a lifestyle. Are we together? We have not shown them a conversation where they'll say, they'll be the one, when is your convention? They'll be the one asking you. Are we together? Have you gone to convention and then they're accusing you didn't invite us, you didn't tell us? Why would they be accusing you that you didn't tell us that you had convention? It's because they've seen a lifestyle. Are we together? That is what is regarded as what? As power. Hallelujah. And can I tell you, that is how you serve. That is what is also referred to as service. Hallelujah. That's what is referred to as service. So what we should leave this conference with is to desire that there is what? That there is a change inside of us. We should not just come and go with big, big grammar. No, what God wants to give us is power for change. Can we say power for change?
Power for change.
Uh-huh. Is an internal work that God must do inside of us. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Let's look at Ephesians 1. Let's look at it from verse 15. Say, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto what? All the saints. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of what? Of your understanding being what? Enlightened. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his what? Of his power to us what? Who what? Who believe according to the working of what? Of his mighty power. So one of the things that the spirit of wisdom and revelation is to bring us into is to understand this power that is in Christ Jesus. Remember, the people that Paul were talking to, they had already experienced a first level of power that brought them into faith in the Lord Jesus and what? Love for all the saints. Do you know, sitting down, just hearing, something is happening to you. I hope you know, something is happening to you. You know, you might not see it because it's not esoteric. But just by the speaking and the preaching of God's word, something is happening inside of you. There is a transaction that is going on. Let me give you an example. In Genesis 3, you know, God told them that they should not partake of the tree, right? And then Satan came to them through the serpent and began to talk to them. The serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden nest? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest what? Ye die. Next. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not what? Surely die. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing what? Good and evil. Next. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now, you see something. It said, and when the woman saw that what? That the food was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise. Now, knowledge. Initially, she just had information that God said we should not eat of this tree. But somebody has opened her eyes, knowledge, to see. Power is working, though. Power is working to see that this tree is what? Is pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to what? To make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did it. What happened next? He said, and the eyes of them both were open. So what happened? He said they saw, but their eyes were not yet open. Are we together? You know, you can be sitting here and then things are being said. You are hearing. Wow. My brother, my sister, you have not yet understood. Do you understand? What did I say? You have not yet understood. You may see, but you have not yet understood. Now, you need to eat for you to understand. Meaning she needed to partake of the tree, experience, for their eyes to truly what? Be open. Now, you are hearing many things. You know the next thing that will happen? You will have to create an atmosphere, an environment for you to go through the experience. That is when truly understanding will be battered. That's when you will see that, wow. So this is what they have been saying. Are we together? So there is an environment that God creates for knowledge to be turned to line or spirit. Are we together? Are we together? And that environment is called the environment of brethren. Are we together? And that's why we must not despise the gathering of ourselves together. We must do what? We must not despise the gathering of ourselves together. You know, something happened to me this week on Sunday. You know, when I just said we should share, I was trying to share an experience I had, you know, in the meeting. And the Lord said, you have to be weak. You have to be weak. And then, you know, for me, it looked as if that was it. But the Lord needed to now start taking me through that experience of how to be weak. Are we together? Do you understand? And then 2 days to conference, we were trying to prepare. So they cooked and all that. After they have cooked soup, cooked stew, cooked everything, stuck in the deep freezer. And then I just came, I think it was on Saturday or Sunday, while we came back, they said, the freezer stopped working. I said, how come? What happened? It just stopped working. I said, okay, just leave it. After the conference, we will deal with it. I said, nothing must affect our hearts. Are we together? And then on Monday of it, you know, they wanted to use the car to go and pick somebody. That's how they said the car key broke. I said, they had to send somebody home to go and bring, you know, another car, another key for us to use. You know, all in all, I was just telling my wife that, see, nothing must do what? Must affect our hearts. On Tuesday, another one happened. You know, you know, we're supposed to, you know, pick the TV from the house. And somewhere I had a check. So I was trying to, this TV is sensitive and all that. But, you know, I was not asking myself that, hey, hope it's not that you're attached to this thing. I don't know if you understand. Hope it's not that you're attached to this thing. So I said, okay, no problem. They should go and carry it. You know, so in coming, you know, I don't know what happened along the way. And then by the time they switched it on, they said there was a mark, meaning, you know, it had cracked. You know, just follow my story. There's something I'm going to, you know. So when I had, you know, the first thing that came to my mind that, it could have happened. My fridge spoiled. It wasn't someone that spoiled it, right? It just spoiled like that. So something could have happened. It could just be, you know, power fuse that just happened and then the TV blows and who am I going to hold? Are you hearing me? Who am I going to? So I said, you don't console me. It's even joy that it's because of the things of God that you say they take joyfully this spoiling of their goods. Are we together? You know? So I said, okay, how am I going to tell my wife? So yesterday I just go home. I was asking, I said, what kind of news can you hear that will break your heart? Just tell me what kind of news that you will hear that will, you know, that will affect your heart concerning the conference. I said, I don't think there's anything that my heart is not attached to anything. Her mind wasn't even going in that direction. So I told her, you know, that this is what happened, this is what happened. She said, that is where, Jerry. That's one of those things that happen. You know, so I was just seeing how the Lord had to create an environment to work weakness. So I had to be telling the brethren that, don't be running away from me. this is, we are together. If you are not brought it to church, you never can tell. Next week, something may still have happened. And the thing would have, you know, something would have happened. So the Lord will bring a word. But they will not have to create an environment for that word to become life. Now, I'm not saying I've gotten the life of that thing fully, but I know it's a journey that just started. Many, many environments will still be created for that thing to happen. Do you understand? That when they tell you that the amount for the screen is higher than the amount you used to buy the TV. But can I tell you something? That's my phone. It's a Samsung phone. I was washing the car one day, and then I was listening to a message. It was a message I was listening to, and then the phone fell, and the screen cracked. And I went to ask them, how much is the screen? They said 260-something thousand. I was using my phone like that. I'm still using my phone like that. Now, can I shock us? If it was a brethren or somebody that fell it and it broke, what would have happened? You can imagine.
Power.
You can imagine. Now that is power. Are we together? We are compassionate on ourselves. We have mercy on ourselves. But when it has to do with other people, then that's when we want to stand our ground. It happens to every one of us. Even in school, it happens. At work, it happens. That something happens, and then we want to stand on our ground. That know this thing. You couldn't have said this to me. You couldn't have done this to me. Why should it be you? And whereas there are many, many opportunities where that same thing has happened and we are the one who did it. And then we defended ourselves that it was a mistake. Now, I didn't know. But when it's somebody, don't you have eyes? You see, that's, you don't know that thing. You need power for conversion. That is what power is for. So when you say all power is what? It's for conversion. To bring us to that point where we can be sealed. Because when you look at, after that, all power has been given to me, blah, 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 in John 17, over our flesh, he said to give them eternal life. So from meek to everlasting life, what they are dealing with is flesh. Until they conquer, see, the point where they give you seal is because they have conquered all flesh inside of us. That's when seal can be given. So wherever we are, you know, when they conquer flesh that is in the Holy Ghost or in the meek, they will seal you that you have conquered this. Are we together? That flesh has been dealt with at this level. And then they bring you into Christ. Are we together? And then they deal with the flesh that is the flesh allocation that is in that dimension by the word of Christ. Hallelujah. And then when they have conquered that flesh, what will happen? Then they will put a seal upon you, which is the seal of Christ or the name of Christ, that this person has done charity like pastor taught, and then they will bring you into everlasting life. Do you know that there are still some things in everlasting life that he needs to deal with? Like Daddy was saying in rounding up, I'm rounding up, that Adam was already in everlasting life, but he still failed because he had not come into the place of full worth sealing. Now, it shows that, you know, for us to serve, because that word service, another word for it is to be useful. Hallelujah. Is to be useful. Useful is in 2 Timothy. They that name in the name of Christ, let them depart from you. Another. Then let's read it. It's nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? From iniquity. So you can see. Then verse 20. But in a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of what? Of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. You see, the essence for power is to convert us from being dishonor or being dishonorable vessels to become what? Honorable vessels. How many of us want to be honorable vessels? He said, if any man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto what? Unto every good work. I like that word. Say meet for the master's use. It is only a vessel that has allowed the Father to purge him, or has gone through all the process of sanctification, because there is a level of sanctification in meek. There is a sanctification in Christ, and then there's sanctification in the Father. Hallelujah. When you have gone through all the sanctification, that's when you will become useful to God. Can we say amen? It is Satan that makes a man useless. Do you know what is the word? That word useless is to be used less than the original purpose that God has made us for. That's what it means to be useless. So when he said this man is useless, it means this man is not fulfilling the original intention, original purpose that God made him for. Are we together? So that thing you are doing, that you think nobody is seeing you, no, Satan is just making you useless. Because that's not the original intention of God for you. Meaning, it's like you are taking, you know, a stick of drum and using it to turn a bar. That's not what it is used for. That's not the intention of the maker for that stick. So there is an intention of God in his, you know, in his heart when he was making man, like Daddy said, is that man will come into full salvation, meaning receive the seal of the Father so that he will be able to serve God. Hallelujah. So to be useless is not to come into fullness of that. You know, so you can be a Christian and be useless. Did you hear me? I said you can what? Be a believer and be useless. So the essence for the things that we are, because what Daddy just did in the past 2-3 hours and what I've been hearing from pre-conference is power. That's how they give power. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. It says faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 1:16. For what? What? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is what? The power of God. Unto what? Unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. Next. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So hearing faith, hearing the gospel of faith is power that has been given, that has been preached to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter 1, in rounding up, he also said, we who were kept by the power of God unto salvation. You want to be kept? You need power. Hallelujah. You want to be kept? What? You need what? Power. So every time you see yourself falling back into those issues, it's because you lack power. What did I say? It's because you lack. So you must go to a service center where they will be distributing power, where they give power. Did you hear me? You must be in a place where power is being given. And it is not in the many things that, you know, internet has described. It's in place where doctrine is being taught. Doctrine of Christ. Doctrine of the Father. Doctrine of Christ. Doctrine of the Father. So anything that still empowers flesh in you, is not a place where you should stay. Hallelujah. You know, of course, I went through campus. You know, we did ministry of some sort. But in all honesty, we knew that there were things in us. Are we together? We knew there were things in us that, you know, that we were ashamed of. There were things in us that we were ashamed of. You know, finishing school, you know, I was just looking, I felt so empty. I mean, there was almost no pulpit on, you know, in campus that we did not preach on. But finishing school, I just felt empty. What's happening? And then I began to pray. that, Lord, I know there's an emptiness inside of me. I don't want to stand before you like this. There was some level of shame inside of me because we knew evil, dark works that were still inside of us. Hallelujah. Issues of, you know, having, you want to become like this person. You understand? Idols of ministry. Are we together? You know, even idol of marriage, that there's a way this sister must be. Especially if you have ministry mindset, there's a way you want to program a sister into Mommy Jill. Are we together? That thing is an idol. So you're looking for sisters who are vibrant, you know, who have calling. Are we together? You know, because of an idol, an infirmity, and an uncleanness inside of us. So when they give us sisters like Leah, we will reject it because there's an idol of ministry inside of us. Who has called you to do ministry? The calling of God over everyone is to what? To come and receive the Father's seal. What did I say? The calling of everyone is to come and do what? Receive what? The Father's seal. So if at the end of the day, like one of the lessons I learned, you know, I was telling Williams, I said, you know, I was asking myself, what is the thin line between leading of the Spirit and doctrine? I would together that, you know, doctrine has said this, and then somewhere, you know, concerning particular matter, you are having, you know, certain perceptions, and then you're asking yourself, should I do? You feel that you should do this, and then, but doctrine doctrine is already plumbing you concerning particular that what is the thin line between that leading or that perception and doctrine? What is that part? You know, that was a lesson I learned. Can I tell you? Doctrine is higher because you can be wrong in your leading, but you cannot be wrong in doctrine. Are we together? What did I? Because even that your leading can be suspicion. It can be fear. Many of us have categorized fear as leading. But you can never be wrong when you stay under accurate doctrine. Amen. I'll just round up Joshua 1 verse 8. I'll round up with that scripture. Joshua 1 verse 8. Joshua 1 verse 8. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written, not some. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt do what? Have good success. So again, you see the issue of mouth, you see of meditation, which is thoughts. Are we together? And then you see the issue of what? What's the third one? Speaking, which is doing. Hallelujah. Or understanding, rather. The third one is understanding. So this book of the law must not depart out of your mouth. You see these things that you are hearing. You must put it before your face day and night. Can I ask, you know? When you know, of course, we still do it, but I remember those early days, messages were not this much. That once you lay hold on a few messages, like you will listen to it back and front, you know, listen to messages, Sons of the Superior Heaven, we listen to it until we could always almost say it word by word as you know it is being said. That's how to listen. You must listen to it again and again until it becomes what a meditation in your heart. Hallelujah. So you must go from just you are listening until it becomes a meditation that you wake up with it, you sleep with it, you are thinking, that is what you are thinking. How can I be saved? Are we together? You understand? How can I move from where I am to where God wants me to be? It must become what? Your heart cry. It must become the meditation of your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It must what? Become what? The meditation of your heart. You see, when it becomes meditation of your heart, you will reduce the frequency of how you browse your phone, social media. Because that is an idol for young people. You know, every time you are just on your phone, you want to check what's happening. You don't check what's happening in the spirit, but you want to check what's happening around. Meanwhile, God wants you to be abreast with what is happening in the spirit. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. We will not be able to come into prosperity if we don't observe to do all that is written. And you need a center like City Gate and our sister churches where these things are taught. They need to teach you how to observe. Hallelujah. And so staying and just listening, staying and just hearing is one of the biggest gifts that God has given to us. Hallelujah. Just staying, because Cain left the presence of God. What that means is that Cain left a place where God could speak to him. But for you to be hearing, you are blessed. Can we say amen? Can we just thank the Lord this morning and ask the Lord for mercy, that we will not be plucked out from the place of hearing, that the Lord will help us to be rooted and be grounded, that we will not be taken away from, you know, the place where we can hear until we are changed. We need to hear until we are changed. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Can we thank the Lord as we are praying? Let's just thank him in our hearts for causing us to hear these things. Father, we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you glory. We thank you for consolidating our blessing today, reminding us about power, what it is. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we appreciate Pastor? Pastor, thank you. It was not an easy walk, I know. We can do better than that. Short walk. So we are trusting that that this meeting will end well. So power is to give us nature. Amen. God wants to deal with the issue of idols. I think that's pronounced. And I'm telling you, I'll be doing that in this meeting. They have already begun to do it. Can we say amen? I'm going to perfect it in this conference. Idols at every level. You know, flesh, works of the flesh is a level of idol. Carnality is a level of idol. For those in the sanctuary, the world is a level of idol. For those in the most holy, wickedness. John said the whole world light and wickedness is, that's also the world, is the higher level of the world. That's the world in the dragon. There's a world in the dragon. The original world in the dragon is called wickedness. So at every level, God is dealing with idols. Can we say amen? So I believe in that God will raise a young generation of people in the campuses that are holy and holy, they are set apart for the Lord. And the Lord has delivered them and purified them from the spirit of this age. And they are wholly sanctified unto the Lord.
This is the Image and Glory Conference 2024.
Welcome to a feast of fat things full of marrow,
of wines on the lees well refined.
We believe you will be blessed by the abundance of grace to be administered through God's word.
Stay blessed.